Volleyball continues its G-PAC dominance, women's soccer extends its unbeaten streak, and men's soccer loses a close one away from home. Hello and welcome to Season 3, Episode 5 of Talkin' Dogs. I'm Kai Ulbrich here with Aaron Spivey. Aaron, how's it going?
It's going good, man. I'm recovering from a little bit of it. My voice was gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a good day here in Nebraska. I went to the Nebraska versus Michigan game, and my voice is gone. You can hear it right now.
Yeah.
But it's good to be back again, man.
Oh, for sure. Big win for the Husker volleyball team last night, getting that 3-0 sweep against Michigan. Nice to see them. We get one against Michigan now after they beat us in football.
Yeah.
So nice to see that.
It was a 3-0 sweep right there. I'm talking about it was just 3-0, but it was a good one. It was a good matchup.
Yes.
Some errors and stuff, but.
For sure. But speaking of 3-0 sweeps for volleyball teams,
right?
The Bulldog volleyball, which is what we're here to talk about anyway. The Huskers can do their thing over there. We love to watch it, but we're here to focus on those Bulldog athletics. So we'll start talking about Concordia volleyball. Two games since our last episode, September 20th, we beat Doan 3-1. Always love to see a Doan win.
Absolutely.
A win against Doan, not a Doan. We don't like Doan wins. We like wins against Doan.
You might have to fix that one on that one, buddy.
Yeah, and then last night, which was Wednesday, took on Hastings. That's where the 3-0 sweep happened. They are now, it's like 5-0 in the G-PAC, 12-1 overall. We'll break down those individual games. We'll start with the one from last Saturday, the one against Doan.
Yeah, let me hear that one.
So if you remember that game against Midland last Wednesday, it was Midland won the first set.
Yep.
Then we went and took the next three. That's exactly what happened against Doan on Saturday. So we ended up losing the first set 25-21. So not the best start, but then we recovered and recuperated and won the second set 25-17, third set 25-13, and fourth set 25-22. We had a pretty good hitting percentage, 182, so not the highest we've ever been, but certainly nothing to shake your head at. And we held Doan to a pretty low one of .075. Obviously, Doan's best hitting percentage, as you might expect, was in that first set that they won. It was 121, where we hit zero. So we had 12 kills, 12 errors, so we were kind of shooting ourselves in the foot there,
right?
Giving them a lot of points off of our own kill attempts, but rectified it very quickly. You look at that third set, that was 25-13. We hit 345 and held them to a zero. Some standout performances. We had Addie Kierkegaard hit 500, 8 kills on 14 attempts with just one error. Ashley Keck, of course, as in every game with the most kill attempts, she hit 227, getting 19 kills and 9 errors. We had Molly Martin once again getting on that block stat with 4 assists. Her and Ella Waters each had 4, but then Ava Green took the spotlight in the blocking category with 5. So we had some very good performances all around the court. You look at Ella Brueggemann, she hit 1 kill off of her 3 attempts and had 20 assists. You had Lily Opsenik with 23 assists as well. So really just a really good overall performance. We had a lot of variation in who's getting those digs. Emma Brueggemann had 14, Shandi Fa'alali had 12, Ella Brueggemann had 10, and then Ashley Keck had 13. So really spreading the love with those digs.
Exactly.
Really solid win for them to be able to come back and recover after losing that first set. But then moving on to the game from last night, the one against Hastings. This one finally got that clean sweep. It's been a little bit since we had a clean sweep. It was Doan and Midland, and then it's been 3 games since we swept a team, and usually we're getting a lot of those sweeps. We actually had we swept 2 teams in a row, Mount Marty and College of St. Mary, to start the G-PAC season.
All right.
Getting our third one of the season in just 5 games, the one against Hastings. That one was 25-19, 25-19, and then 25-15.
Like how you see the 25-19 back-to-back games right there. It's like,
yeah.
I thought you were like stuttering for a second, but I'm looking at it, it's like the actual.
Nope, no stuttering going on here, just statistics. And speaking of another incredible statistic, hit 268 on the day and held Hastings to .054. And our third set was really good. It was 462 on the
462?
Kill percentage. 462, yeah.
Goodness.
Mm-hmm.
That's holding them out. But you, like, the thing is, like, it went. I thought, like, usually the third set, most teams, like, get their stuff going, but they just like, no disrespect to Pacers, like, they just went backtracking on that one. Like, like, they just lost four extra points right there. While Corey was just like, oh, we about to lock in on that one.
Exactly, yeah. So if you think about that, throughout the entirety of the game, every 20, it took them 20 attempts to get a point every time.
Wow.
So 20 hits to get a point for them, whereas we took about one in every three.
See, that you're saying that statistics, that's like, oh, goodness. That's just like, there's a difference. You can see a difference in the firepower both teams are having at the moment.
Yes, 100%. And you look at some of the top performers. We just talked about Ava Green on those block numbers, but she hit 500 against Hastings, five kills on just eight attempts with one error. We had Molly Martin hitting 417, six kills, one error on 12 attempts. We had Ella Waters with five kills. We had Kaya Scott with six kills, hitting 333. And then Ashley Keck with nine kills on 32 attempts, two errors for a 219. And then Maddie Paulson came in for, she had two attempts, got one of them. So that's a 500 for her. Surprising. We did not have many blocks at all. We had one block in the entire game, which is
one
very, very not normal for us. No solo blocks. The only block, there was a block assist from Ava Green and Addie Kierkegaard. They went up together and got the block. But besides that, nothing really, which makes the Hastings kill percentage a little bit surprising, mm-hmm. seeing as we didn't get many blocks. But guess you could say they might have been scared of our blocks because, you know, we block so much. It's like a block party out there.
It's a block party. Like we're like the founder and CEO of block parties in Bulldog Stadium.
Exactly. And I was at that game last night, and to be fair, they were hitting a lot over, so like outside of the court. So it could just be the mere presence of our incredible blockers is making them whiff.
Yep.
And hit it too hard or hit it too long, too wide. So we'll give our blockers the benefit of the doubt on that one. Can't really complain about holding them to, you know,
you really
0.054 hitting percentage.
You really can't.
So, like we said, that takes the volleyball team to 5-0 in the GPAC, 12-1 overall. They've been sitting at number two in the country, behind the only team we've lost to, Eastern Oregon. So that's really the only team ahead of us right now. We have beaten everyone since that game, and looking forward to Senior Day on Saturday, September 27th against Dort. That'll, of course, be here in Friedrich Arena at 3 p.m. So come out and support those women's volleyball players as we honor the seniors of that team. They've had an incredible career so far. They've been dominant every year I can remember. They've been making it to nationals, making deep runs in nationals, and have been ranked in the top five for a long time.
Throughout the 4 years of BAB at Concordia, that team's scary. That team is scary. It just it's getting better and better by each year.
Certainly some of the best Bulldogs among us. But speaking of Bulldogs who have had a rougher start to the year than our volleyball team, we take it to the men's soccer team. It hurts me to have to talk about another loss.
I know, buddy. It's like, it hurts, but we gotta do it. We gotta do it.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
It's happened. So we traveled to Northwestern on Saturday and played Northwestern. So Northwestern in Orange City, Iowa, about 3 hour drive. So went there. Pretty close game. We ended up losing 2-1. All the goals came in the second half, so very, very cagey first half, 0-0, not a ton of shots. Northwestern definitely had more of the shots in the first half, but there just weren't a ton anyway. Honestly, not a crazy amount of shots from each team. Northwestern definitely had the better of it. They had 16 shots throughout the match compared to Concordia's 9. Northwestern had 8 in the first half, 8 in the second half. We had 1 in the first half and 8 in the second half. Mm. So you look much more even second half than first half. Corner kicks, they had 7. We had just 2. But they out-fouled us a lot. They had 22 fouls. We had 11. So 33 fouls in a game. That's a foul every two and a half, 3 minutes. So
that's a foul party.
Yeah, a couple yellow cards, 5 total in the game. But the scoring was opened in the 46th minute. They had a throw in which they switched pretty well. They caught some of our defenders in a 2v1 situation. A nice ball over the top, and then a good finish into the top corner. They doubled their lead in the 70th. It was a corner that we cleared, but then they got it back, and then they crossed it in and scored from like 2 yards away from goal.
Wow.
And then we didn't score till the 89th minute, so 2 minutes left when Sam Hamilton hit a corner kick in, so one of our two corners He hit the corner kick in. Joe McCarroll, he chested it down to yours truly, who I hit it right foot into the left corner of the goal. And that was our one goal of the game, my one shot of the game. So you're telling me that you got the goal. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but we gotta be more hype about that. You gotta get yourself a goal on the podcast.
Bro, I can't. You gotta hype me up. I can't hype myself up.
I mean, you really you can, but like
well, I shouldn't.
You shouldn't because
gotta be humble.
You know what? I like that though. I like that. But you know what? Hey, Kai got his goal though. I got Kai got his goal though.
Yes, sir. So unfortunately, it was only a consolation as we did end up losing 2-1, but. Definitely things to take away from the game. Not one of our best performances of the season, but as always, it's on to the next one. Just yep. the first GPAC game of the season, the Great Plains Athletic Conference match. So we got lots more where that came from. I think we got 9 more regular season conference games to look forward to. The next one is going to be this Saturday. So we had yesterday bye week. So
yep.
Bye week. So no Wednesday game. And so we'll be playing against Briarcliff at 1 o'clock on Saturday.
We'll play on Saturday as well, Briarcliff. And guess what? I will be there commentating on that one again.
If for whatever reason, which there's really no good reason to not be at the game, but some people may have a reason, and if you do have a reason, make sure you tune in online and watch. You basically get both of us. You get me in the game, and then you get Aaron commentating the game.
What's better than so that? That's a better duo right there with it, man.
It's basically a live episode of Talking Dog, so who wouldn't want that? You should all be there. Actually, you should be there and tune in. Do both so you can get Aaron's commentary during the game.
Even though my voice sounds gone, but I'll still do my best on that one.
Yeah, you got 2 more days to figure it out. Get some tea with some honey, you know.
I don't have honey in my dorm room. That's the thing.
No, Walmart has some.
Yeah.
Janzo has some.
True. True.
Get some Janzo honey.
Yeah, I'll get some. But we guys, we get sidetracked with it.
Yeah, my bad.
We get sidetracked. But the thing is, now even though we had to talk about your men's soccer team, you know, having lost game, we got to talk about how the women's soccer is still on the undefeated streak right here, man.
Gosh, they've been killing it all season long. Almost lost the streak against Northwestern. It was a very close game. So
keyword almost though.
Almost, they did not lose the streak.
Keyword almost.
Mm-hmm. So Northwestern and Concordia finished 3-3 on the women's side. 1 goal for each team in the first half and 2 in the second for each squad. We ended up striking first through Savannah Andrews. She got her goal assisted by Kirsten Garner.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? To make it 1-0. But then, disaster almost struck. It kind of did strike. Northwestern scored 3 unanswered goals. They scored in the 27th minute. They scored in the 52nd minute, and then they scored in the 67th minute to make it 3-1. And at this point, you're thinking, oh, no, the undefeated streak is coming to an end, because you get to the 68th minute, you get to the 72nd minute, you get to the 80th minute, you get to the 82nd minute, and it is still 3-1.
Yep.
You think, ah, 7 minutes to score 2 goals, that's too much. Too much to ask. But no, Kiana Rios said no. Kiana Rios scored to make it 3-2 in the 83rd minute.
Okay.
So we got 6 or 7 minutes to go.
Got life.
But there's life. And then just 3 minutes afterwards, Kirsten Garner gets the game-tying goal, assisted by Evie Keller. Kirsten's 8th goal of the season. Makes it 3-3, 4 minutes to go, and that is how the game finished. We actually had some more shots. We could have won the game. Rios had a shot in the 89th minute, and then we had a corner with 10 seconds to go that we could have scored on, but can't be too upset about coming back from 2 goals down in just about 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So really good performance towards the tail end of that game. Definitely need to get the middle section figured out. Can't be conceding 3 unanswered goals, but coming back in that fashion will definitely help their confidence. Not that they need more confidence right now. They've been killing it all year long. Like we said, 6-3 overall. 6-0-3 overall. 0 losses, 3 ties.
Only 3 ties, though. Yeah. So, like, I don't know where it's a tie or odds mean. But it's still undefeated on that end, bro.
Exactly. 1-0-1 in the GPAC. So, not the start they would have 100% wanted, but not bad. We had, on the shot count, we had Savannah Andrews with 4, Kiana Rios with 3, and then Kirsten Garner with 6. Kirsten got a goal and an assist. Evie Keller got the one assist. Rios got a goal, and Andrews got a goal. So,
okay.
Overall solid performance from them, but then talking about a bit more of a dominant game, but also one that had a little back and forth to it. Played the College of St. Mary yesterday in Omaha. That game ended 3-1, so for sure a bit more of a dominant performance. We struck very early in this game. Kirsten Garner scored in the second minute of action.
Before the second minute even begun, like, it was like...
Yeah, the stadium's still filling up. You know, mom and dad might not even be there yet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so you score right there.
Score right, like, away. Make people feel bad for being late.
And obviously, with the assist from Sadie Barres.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
Barres right there.
No more goals for the rest of the half. Ended 1-0 for the first half.
Not bad.
But trust me, it gets better.
Yep.
After it gets worse. Because College of St. Mary, they scored the equalizer in the 57th minute. 1-1 now. You're thinking, oh no. Almost just like Northwestern.
So like it's going to be like, oh, is it going to be another tie? Well, guess what? Kirsten Garner said, not on my watch.
Mm-mm. She got the 2-1 goal just 6 minutes after they had the score tied up against them. Abby Haynes with the assist on that one. And then why don't you take us away from the last goal?
And then obviously, before the game is over again, like there's like it looks like the game was on, like 2-1. Mm-hmm. We got Sierra Springer give us the under with no assist. Goes in and seals the deal, putting the nail in the coffin, making the score 3-1.
A little cherry on top in the 77th minute.
Exactly.
And after that, it was too much for College of St. Mary. No more goals in the game. Not too many shots after that one. And that gives them the 3-1 victory.
You got a total of 28 shots.
Wow.
28 shots total that whole game. That was more of a defensive battle right there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it was a clean game, total of 7 fouls.
All right. And, 28 shots is certainly a decent amount. Not the highest you'll ever see, but definitely chances for both teams. 15 for us, 13 for College of St. Mary. So they actually outshot us in the first half, but then we took the bull by the horns in the second and got 11 shots to their 7. On the save count, Aaliyah Vidro had a really solid game. She faced 10 shots on goal, only conceded one. She made 9 saves, and then we put 11 shots on goal on the College of St. Mary keeper. She made 8 saves and conceded 3. So, great game from Aaliyah to keep the score to just 1-0, and good game from our attackers and defenders and midfielders and overall good performance.
It was a great performance coming back after a tie against Northwestern.
Exactly.
And obviously getting a win against College of St. Mary's. Now, obviously, next game, Saturday, against Briarcliff as well, too. And what time would that be at, Kai?
That'll be at 3:30. So it'll be following the men's game we play at 1. And then, they give them 30 minutes of warm-up, and then they'll be getting it kicked off. So come for one, stay for both. Come for both, stay for both. I don't really care. Just come see both.
Come see both.
1 o'clock, 3:30. What else are you going to do?
Well, what else would you be eating? Be commentating that one as well, too.
Yeah, you got to make it to at least one game on Saturday. We've got 2 soccer games against Briarcliff.
And then we got a volleyball game.
We got volleyball senior day.
Yep.
Lots of options. We also have football. Now, you'll be brave to make the venture to that game because they are away at Waldorf, which is in Forest City, Iowa, 6 hours away. So if you really want to, we're not going to stop you.
Go
support the Bulldogs. It'll be great. Maybe road trip with your roommate.
Or your parents. Or even that special someone if you wanted to, because watch it. Why
or
not?
Just go by yourself.
Why not?
Rent a helicopter.
Rent a helicopter.
Ride a horse. Whatever mode of transportation gets you there. Go support our Bulldogs as they hopefully take down Waldorf on Saturday. So, of course, you'll be able to likely tune in. I'm sure Waldorf has a live stream up somewhere. Pretty much everyone has a live stream now.
Exactly.
Thankfully. So, be able to be at the men's soccer game while you're watching the football game. Then you can be at the women's soccer game while you're watching the volleyball game.
There's endless options. There's endless options.
So many options. So many amazing ways to choose from, and so much Bulldog action to watch on Saturday.
Now, speaking of Bulldog action,
we
got to talk about the cross country.
Yes, we do.
The one at that Lincoln meet, I forgot what it was called.
Yeah, at Mahoney State Park, it was like the Greeno invite. The Greeno Dirksen invite in Lincoln at the Mahoney Golf Course. That one's a pretty nice course. I've never run there myself, but I've heard good reviews from it. Pretty well maintained. The golf course meets are always great.
Yep.
Because they always have very nice grass.
Green grass.
The golfers are like particular about that or something.
Yep. You gotta enjoy it. But God, go ahead, talk about more about the men and women in the cross country meet on that one, man.
Yeah. So we had pretty solid performance from both teams. This was a meet that featured teams from every division in athletics. We had JUCO teams. We had, of course, NAIA teams. We had some D3. We had some D2. And then we had some D1ers as well. Nebraska was there. UNO was there. Missouri was there. Wichita State was there.
Wow.
Yeah, so definitely some stiff competition. We finished right about in the middle of the pack in what was obviously a competitive race. We finished, it was 14th out of 23 teams on the men's side, which they all ran at the same time, but they split it up into different divisions. So in the gold division, which is what we were, it was 9th out of 17 teams, so right in the middle.
Right.
And then, overall it was 14th out of 23. For our finishers, we're going to talk about their placement in the gold division. So Trey Robertson was the top dog on the day. He got 15th place in the gold division. It was 41st overall, but he finished his 8K, which is essentially a 5 mile. It's 4.97 miles, so we'll call it a 5 mile.
Go that.
He finished in 25:42, which for those of you who aren't the best at math, that is just about 5 minutes, 10 seconds per mile.
Jeez.
For 5 miles, so he's pretty quick.
That's like, dude, I'm pretty sure mine would be like six or seven.
Yeah.
Per mile.
Yeah, and this isn't even the fastest he'll go all season. He's still warming up. We had Aiden Limbach, second place for us, in 51st place in the gold division, 26:24. Von Hendrickson, our returning All-American, mm-hmm. he ran a 26:45 to get 62nd place. Ransom Watson, 68th, with 26:51. Trevor Kunchel in 71st place with a 26:53. And then in 81st place, we had Justin Sherman with a 27:05.
Okay.
For that 8K. So, pretty solid performance. I don't know if we shouted him out, but Trey Robertson got GPAC Runner of the Week last week. So, give him his flowers for that.
Maybe we did. I don't remember, but maybe because he's that good that we got to say it back-to-back times.
Exactly. But then talking about another GPAC Athlete of the Week, on the women's side, we had Keely Green. She got it the same week as Trey. The women also placed 14th. Their division had 22 teams. But Keely Green placed very highly in the gold division and in the overall as well. So we had her get 9th place in the gold division with an 18:21 for a 5K, which is 3.11 miles. She finished 16th overall out of 231 runners. Annika Schlatter got 47th place with a 19:56. Ashley Robertson, younger sister of Trey Robertson, got 72nd place with a 20:28. Macy Ripke got 74th with a 20:31. Allison Stepanek got 77th with a 20:35. And then Lily Dahl got 83rd with a 20:47. So, very solid performance from all of them. Like I mentioned, teams from all divisions of college athletics. So, if you can perform well against the D1ers, you can certainly perform well against the NAIA competition. And I think they proved just that they can hang with just about anyone. You know, Keely getting 16th place out of, there's probably 50 D1 runners there.
Exactly, and you're at 16th place, like in the top 20. That's mm-hmm. like that's good. That's some confidence to build in going into like forward cross country meets.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've got a little bit of a break right now. Their next meet is on October 4th. Briarcliff Invited will be at the Adams Homestead and Nature Preserve in North Sioux City, South Dakota. I was talking to one of the cross country guys the other day, and he was saying that the course is a lot of like fine gravel, so it's almost like a trail.
Right.
So some people, you don't even wear spikes for it. You just wear your flats.
Yeah, you really should.
Which is interesting.
That's a smart idea to do, in my opinion.
Yeah. Don't want to be wearing those spikes on some gravel. That'll be not good for the spikes, the shoes, or your feet.
You're going to make it dull.
Exactly. So we wish them the best of luck as they go there for a very GPAC heavy meet. Hope to see them perform well and defeat some conference competition.
Right. I'm looking forward to that one as well.
Yes. So, also, before we get out of here, we talked about football already. They've got a game coming up on Saturday. But tennis, they have an event coming up pretty soon. It's basically the biggest fall tournament for tennis because their main season is spring. That's when they have the most competitions.
Right.
But they have, you know, like in soccer, we have our spring season, but it doesn't actually count for anything. It's just more scrimmages.
Yeah.
Theirs actually does count. So it's a real season, the tennis season. They have the ITA NAIA Central West Regional Championships coming up on it's the 26th through the 28th. And that is both the men's and the women's teams. And we've had multiple athletes qualify in each the men's and the women's division.
Uh-huh.
So on the men's side, we have Santiago Abadia. He qualified for the tournament. We had Nick Velders. He qualified. We had, who else was it? We had Hugo Fuentes. He qualified for, and then Ben Chisholm qualified all for the men's side. I know that because we got Santi, he plays on the soccer team as well, so he was telling us all about that.
Let the man brag about it. You gotta hype the man up.
Exactly. But then we also had some of the women qualify as well. Yeah, so we wish the men's and the women's tennis teams the best of luck as they travel to go play in that tournament. Unless you have anything else, I think that's all we have today.
I was excited to see what Saturday's going to bring. We got three games.
Four games.
Four, actually.
Three home games, but four total.
Three home games and one away game. I'm excited to see and excited to talk about that next time for sure.
100%. But for today, that'll be all for the fifth episode of Season 3 of Talkin' Dogs. Be sure to check us out at cunesower.com. Go to that podcast tab to listen and then read all the great stories that go up on there. And of course, give us a follow and a listen on Spotify. But from Kai Ulbrich, Aaron Spivey, and everyone else at the CUNE Sower newspaper, have a great day and go Dogs!